Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Under the Shell, presented by Terrapin Sports Central. I'm one of your co-hosts, Kevin Ireland, and I'm here joined by
Sam Jane,
Brendan YSL,
Michael Big Mike Howes.
Today we have a very special interview with potential Big Ten Coach of the Year, Brenda Fries of the Maryland women's basketball team. Let's get into the interview.
Well, we are pleased to welcome in Maryland's women's basketball coach, Brenda Fries. Coach Fries is a national champion, obviously, a two-time AP Coach of the Year, four-time Big Ten Coach of the Year, potentially maybe five after this season finishes. And we're looking forward to having her on and asking her some questions, not only about this season where the Terps are ranked in the top 10, but also about her tenure as a whole and who she is more as a person. And we really want to get to dive into that. Coach Fries, we are Under the Shell podcast. We kind of try to dive into Maryland athletics and who runs them. We try to get like unique stories and anecdotes out and figure out who makes up Maryland athletics. So we're pleased to have you on, obviously. Thank you for having on.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So just kind of the first question, I was wondering, you've obviously been in coaching for a long time. How did you even really get into it? Was that something that you just kind of naturally figured out that you were good at? Like, what type of jump started you into getting into the coaching ranks?
Yeah, I was really fortunate to have, two parents that really supported all six of their children in sports. So obviously that became a love in and of itself with our family. We were involved in so many times with, just athletics. But I think, originally I had a really good high school coach who was a mentor of mine and, was somebody that I really looked up to. And I thought when I got to college, I'd probably go back and teach high school and coach. I think that's kind of where my mindset was at. But through the course of some adversity, I was in college and ended up having four foot surgeries. And at that time, when I was in college, I started looking at my collegiate coach and thinking, maybe I could do college. And so it really stemmed out of kind of a setback with, a type of injury that really allowed me to kind of put my lens on being able to do it at the collegiate level.
Hey, Coach, throughout your time at Maryland, you've really been able to sustain this winning culture you guys have. Even when you got here, you took over a program that historically had been winning games. As a coach, what do you have to do to maintain that winning culture for over 20 plus years now?
I am really proud of the fact of the consistency. And, I think it's just, continuing to keep putting your head down and going to work. I've been really fortunate to just have so many great staff. So I think it starts with your staff and your support staff that you have in place. I think it's a top-down mentality. And then obviously the players are the ones that have to buy in, that have to be talented enough. I mean, you have to be able to target, the best kids in the country out there. So that's been an area for us that, we've really been able to consistently take advantage of.
Yeah. So just why did you decide to come to Maryland? What was the pitch like to kind of get you to arrive in College Park?
Well, it was actually when I was at Minnesota and I was named, AP Coach of the Year and had the biggest turnaround there. And so at that time, I was kind of courted and wined and dined between, at the time, Maryland, Ohio State and Florida. And so, I would say the number one reason was Debbie Yao. I mean, the athletic director at that time, we all know the history of the Yao sisters. And Debbie was somebody that had really shared her vision with me, a former basketball coach. So someone who ended up becoming a great mentor to me at the time when I was really young, and just the vision. I really felt like Maryland was a school. They had traditionally been a national power, and I felt like it was someone that, could consistently do it again.
Coach, my grandfather, he's a Minnesota alum and he knows I cover the women's team. So he told me to tell you, he's still upset that you left and sad that Maryland or Minnesota let you get away, but he's glad that you're doing well. So I was just curious, this season, obviously, you know, you guys have risen, you know, pretty highly in the rankings. You're coming up on a couple crucial weeks here down the stretch in the Big Ten. Did you always kind of expect this team to swing into the groove towards the end of the year with all the new faces and all the transfers and everything people have asked you about countless times? Or have they kind of outpaced your expectations even of what they where they've gotten to at this point?
Yeah, you know, I think going into the season, and rightly so, there were a lot of question marks when you're bringing in 9 new players. I liken it to kind of the rebuild that we had to do when I first got here. So, yeah, there were days when it was daunting and, you know, a lot of question marks. I think if you saw us in the preseason on conference, rightly so, you would have thought the same thing. But again, I think it speaks volumes of our culture, of our system, to our staff, and just continuing to kind of put your head down and going to work and, you know, putting your players in positions to be successful. Ultimately, then, you know, I put the rest on the players. They, you know, at the beginning, I think that like anyone else, they were unsure, but they bought in, and you see, you know, what they're able to accomplish now, just sacrificing for the betterment of each other. And just the chemistry piece has been really special to be able to watch this team unfold. And yeah, I'll say is, you know, I don't think I've made it, you know, last year was a really tough year, I thought, both personally on and off the court. And, you know, I think this year is the exact opposite. It's been one of the most rewarding years I could possibly have as a coach.
Kind of building off that last question, when you enter a year like this year, where you have so many new players coming in, key players coming out, and all these new players are going to play a decent amount of minutes, how do you kind of build and develop that chemistry? Do you feel like it's more like an off-the-court thing, getting to know each other and each other's personalities, or is it more like an on-the-court thing, getting to play and practice together?
Definitely a blend of both, but I think for us as a staff, we were super intentional wanting to build that chemistry early off the court. You know, it started way back when in September when we went away for a weekend and did a team retreat and spent a lot of time there, really allowing our players and staff to be comfortable and get to know each other. And then something that we've really, you know, spent a lot of time trying to foster this year, just given that there were so many new players in the mix. So, and then I think obviously you've got to get on the floor. You've got to have those reps, like you're talking about, X's and O's and practice time. And so just having the amount of time that we've been able to put together, when you think about all these new players, learning your defense, learning your offense, learning your system, it's pretty remarkable to see where they're at.
So obviously talk about, you know, bringing a bunch of new faces onto the team, and the transfer portal has become, you know, much more widely used because of COVID, and also just in the past 5 or so years. Do you look for certain things when you're bringing in a transfer versus someone who's going to be a freshman?
Yeah, I mean, you hope that they're going to come in right away and be able to make an impact. It's not their first rodeo coming in, so to speak. They have to learn a new system, but the freshman year is pretty daunting with just everything you have to acclimate to out of high school and out of your home for the first time. But it's also, you know, a bit of a puzzle because for us, you know, I feel like I kind of want to know the player that we're getting. It helps if you've recruited them in the past, but there is also that chemistry piece, the locker room piece, that you want to make sure you're getting the right player that's going to fit your program.
Hey, Coach, I just was wondering, I don't know if you've seen this. I know it garners some things on Twitter. You're notorious for your foot stamp. Like the one when after something's happening where you kind of slam your foot in frustration or excitement. Is that something that you notice yourself doing, or is it just kind of natural? Like, where does it start? Or is it just kind of like a habit thing? I'm just curious if you could explain to the fans what's up with the foot stamp.
Definitely, probably, you know, I'm an emotional, passionate coach. So out of habit, I am surprised I've never broken a heel. So we hope that trend continues. But, you know, definitely, I think purely out of what's happening on the court and the game, hopefully the more stomps that are for positive reasons than the other.
in a couple of years from now, you're going to have a couple of new faces in the Big Ten Conference. UCLA and USC, they're going to be joining the conference. So that's going to be fun to travel over there. Long bit of a trip to go all the way over there. But for now, what would you say your top three Big Ten cities to travel to are? And then if you want a top three worst.
Well, I'll give you best and worst all in one. I mean, Iowa is the best because I get to see my family, but they're also the worst.
Iowa fans, yeah.
Their fans are you wouldn't think that I had grown up in Iowa. So I can work that on either side. I appreciate going to Nebraska. I think their fans are really know the sport. They're super humble. We've gone off the court sometimes, win by 30, and just their fans are so gracious. They really kind of understand like just the beauty of sports. So I do appreciate the road trips going to Nebraska. I also enjoy Minneapolis. I think the Twin Cities, it's a different kind of feeling when you're playing in the barn up on a stage. So I, you know, really, really enjoy kind of those road trips. So, you know, I don't think there's too many that I would say I don't enjoy. I think what's the beauty of the Big Ten is the fans. Every arena you go in, you're going to play in front of just great fans, super passionate. You look at all the attendance that are being broken right now, and the majority of them are coming out of the Big Ten. So I think that's a great thing. And then obviously, I mean, our fans. So, I mean, they speak in and of itself, number one fans in the country.
Yeah. When you talk about kind of travel around the country and obviously players are going to leave and go off elsewhere, maybe go play professionally. But what's your relationship like once a player leaves Maryland and goes and maybe plays basketball somewhere else? Or are you in close contact with them, or does it really kind of depend on the person?
Yeah. You know, I would say a blend of both. I am very intentional of trying to stay in touch with our kids after they leave. I mean, typically by text or a call. I think obviously when you get into seasons, they're busy, I'm busy, but you know, definitely when you see different things, you're constantly in contact. And then, you know, for our kids that go on and play professionally, it's, you know, anything they need, kind of helping them transition into that next step, being prepared for that moment. But I love the fact that I think it does speak volumes of our program. They all come back. They understand that there's resources here for them. And, you know, I think that's probably the thing I'm most proud of is the fact that it, I think, symbolizes the type of environment we have, the type of career that they had, that they all want to come back and, you know, continue to be a part of this program.
Okay, Coach. So just so the people who listen, the few listeners we do have, we're wondering, we do like a rapid fire segment where I'm going to ask you like 10 questions, just one word answers, not necessarily have to be about basketball, but it's just going to be interesting to hear what you have to say. So whenever you're ready, I can fire away.
Let's go.
All right. Best post game snack.
Pizza.
Okay. Favorite movie?
Love and Basketball.
Best shooter you've ever coached?
Christy Tolliver. And then I'd have to say my sister as well. So Christy Tolliver, and I got to coach my sister, Stacy Freeze Huber.
Okay. Favorite artist?
Pink.
Okay. Coolest place to play in the Big Ten tournament?
Indianapolis.
Okay. Funniest player you've ever coached?
Shatori Walker Kimbrough.
Ooh, favorite Maryland shot you ever seen go in? I think I know the answer to this one.
Christy Tolliver, national game against.
Most overrated food item.
Donuts.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, bigger fan of Maryland basketball. All the fans at Xfinity Center or your mom?
Wait, what was it? Say it again.
Bigger fan of Maryland women's basketball. All the fans that show up to the Xfinity Center or your mom?
Oh, man, that's a tie.
All right. And then kind of wrapping up here, we want to know. So if you could craft, this is, we're going to do this as a segment later on when we record. if you could craft your like an all-time lineup of players you've coached here at Maryland. So like you got to have point guard, shooting guard, small forward, you know, 4-5. It doesn't necessarily have to be the best players, the ones that you just think would fit the best together. And then you got one rule. You have to give a player from this current team just so that, you know, we can relate it to this year.
Oh, okay. Well, right now I would say my top, jeez, this is really hard. You got Tolliver. I have to have by position?
Yeah, well, like 1-2 that you can interchange, yeah. But relative, how you would throw it out on the floor. It can't be, you know, all five men.
Okay, so Christy Tolliver at the one.
Bucket.
Yeah, I've got, geez. Alyssa Thomas. I'm going Brianna Jones at the center. I'm going to go big. So Crystal Langhorne at the forward spot and Diamond Miller at the other guard spot.
Diamond at the center. Okay, that is a lengthy lineup. We can respect that. That's a little different than this year's teams. You might dominate on the paint inside. Well, thank you, Coach. We appreciate your time. Good luck the rest of the way. Obviously, a big couple weeks coming up here. But thank you so much for hopping on, and glad we got to know a little bit more about Coach Freeze.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me.
Huge thanks to Coach Freeze for coming on the podcast, our second ever active coach to come on. And
legend.
Let's get into it. What a time it is to be covering Maryland athletics with 7 ranked teams across the board. Notably not on that list, men's basketball.
They did, however, receive one vote for that top 25, sitting at an unofficially ranked 28th, I believe. I don't know what the
Maybe Ken... 38th. It's not... It's...
I don't know what KenPom's saying. It's all relative. It doesn't really...
And Maryland's sitting in the top 30 on KenPom. I think it's 28, like you said, Cav. What do you guys think? If they beat Purdue on Thursday, do they move into the rankings?
I was about to say, they are playing a team that's in the top 5 that just lost 2 games the past week. They've shown weaknesses. I think it's very possible that they... can expose those weaknesses, defeat them, and get those votes. If they defeat Purdue, they're going to get into the rankings.
Absolutely. I think Purdue's vulnerable at this point. Maryland's just waiting to pounce.
Well, to be honest, it all really depends on how they're going to defend Zach Edey. I know, Sam, you know a little bit about the subject. Can you kind of describe what they did the last game?
Yeah, they kind of played him. I think with a great big man like that, you have to switch up coverages. If you give him one look the whole game, he's going to exploit it. So if you, you know, double the whole game or play him single coverage the whole game, he's going to find ways to pick apart your defense. So what Maryland did, I thought, was smart. You know, occasionally they play Juju Reese on him one-on-one, and then occasionally they'd bring a second guy and you know, fake a double or double him. I think you have to continue to do that. Cavett, who do you see as the X factor for Maryland in this one, especially on the offensive side of the ball? If you're looking at, is that Jameer Young? Is that, you know, Hakeem Hart continuing to have a big day? What do you think?
Donald Carey.
Oh, interesting. The Don Bomb.
That's a crazy take.
No,
but I kind of love it.
I think he is an X factor.
We know Don Carey is capable of hitting the 3 ball, so if he... able to get his hand shot. Oh, hand hot. Excuse me. Get those shots to fall. I think Terrapins will be in a great spot.
Yeah, Brendan. What do you? You know, this is kind of a big spot for Maryland, but it's also a kind of a gravy game, if that makes sense. You know, they don't have to win this game for, you know, to make the tournament or seeding reasons. If they win this game, they sit in sole possession of the Big Ten second place because they already, you know, have the tiebreakers. How do you see this one playing out, and what do you think about this type of matchup where Maryland can kind of throw everything at the wall in terms of this game? And give me your take about, A, how it plays out, and B, what's the atmosphere like at Xfinity?
I think the last week for Maryland basketball couldn't have really gone too much worse, but it's not really that – it wasn't really their doing. Purdue coming off a loss is absolutely not what Maryland wanted to happen. Purdue just saw the court get stormed. They don't want to see it happen again, and so they're going to be coming in with a lot of energy, but so is the Xfinity crowd. But with that being said, I don't see Purdue losing 2 games in a row, so I think they're going to come out hot, and Maryland's just going to fall behind early, and kind of what we saw in the Wisconsin game earlier in the year.
Or Purdue, even the Tennessee game.
Or even the Tennessee game is Maryland doesn't start too strong, and then after that, they can't come back and It's just a slow-paced game.
Yeah, the last game they fell down 27-11 early, and then they finished a half down 35-21. Like you were saying, they just cannot have those super slow starts where they find themselves in a hole and they crawl their way back, but at the end it's just like too late.
Starting down 15-0, believe it or not, is not good. It's not how you want to start a basketball game.
I think that's fair to say.
What do you mean?
Well, usually you want to score.
You don't like
score.
Being at a disadvantage
the
right
fact
away.
That Maryland was able to even take the lead in that game was very impressive.
I just want to know how many times when Zach Edey scores, people are just going to be like, he sucks, he's just tall. I think that's a pretty high over-under number.
Well, how good do we think he would be if he was 6'9"?
That is a good point.
It's a really, really good question.
Take 6 inches off his height right now. Is he the National Player of the Year? Is he winning the John Wooden Award?
No, probably not.
Probably not.
All I know is he's a lot less attractive of a basketball prospect for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, unfortunately, we can't just remove his spine or a couple of vertebrae, so he's going to stay at that height that he's at. So
that's right.
Going to have to.
Going to be an interesting matchup for sure. And Edey's probably going to go for a lot of points, but Maryland's just got to hope that they can neutralize the other threats on Purdue.
And one last thing, Jameer Young has to score more than 10 points against Purdue. Last game, he only scored 10. Yeah. He's the heart of this offense.
Despite that very close game
but he's the heart of this offense. Mm. If Maryland needs to get off to that strong start, Jameer Young's got to start that for them.
Purdue missed a lot of threes in that first game, and I think you can't rely on that again, so I would agree with Mike. Young's got to be the best player on the floor if Maryland wants a chance.
Yeah, not much happened in women's basketball, maybe except for our interview. Sam, what do they got coming up?
Yeah, kind of a dead week here. They play Michigan State on Saturday. I'd like to say, obviously, our prayers and thoughts are with the Michigan State community. Terrible things continue to happen on college campuses, and continuously, I think the nation is stunned by what keeps happening. And Michigan State was just the latest, so obviously all of our thoughts and prayers are with them. But we don't know if that game is going to be played. Obviously, that's on the back of people's minds right now. But they kind of have a dead week. Therefore, they get a big couple games coming up against Iowa and Ohio State, so that'll be interesting to see with potential seeding. I think that the biggest question is Brenda Freeze going to win Big Ten Coach of the Year down the stretch? If they win these two against Iowa and Ohio State, I think she's probably the shoe-in favorite. Coming with a lot of transfers, a lot of new faces. You know, Indiana brought back basically their whole team. And so I think it'll be interesting to see how the voters respond and what Maryland does. So, just kind of is what it is here with Maryland Women's right now.
Does that award come out before or after the Big Ten tournament?
That's a good question. I'm pretty sure it comes out after, but I could be wrong.
If it's after, I would say that it heavily depends on how they do in the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's fair. At the same time, the Big Ten tournament's such a crapshoot, you don't really know. So, but I think that's fair.
Yeah, she talked about it today as well, just having a lot more fun this year, and that's a big part of it.
Yeah, definitely. I think that you can see the whole team is starting to have some fun. But guys, team that might not have had fun over the weekend. The men's lacrosse team, one of their it's crazy. It's their first loss in like an absurd amount of time.
Over 1,000 days.
Yeah. But Kev, talk about what happened against Loyola there.
Yeah, so it obviously wasn't a pretty outlook for the Terps that day when they made that trip to Baltimore. It was a close game in the first half, closer than they would have liked, much closer than they would have expected. And they actually I don't think they had a lead at all. Mm-mm. In that entire game. So they were down 2-0, then it would go 2-2, and then it would like the score would just fluctuate. They would get up to tie, and then they would give up two goals quickly, and then they would put two more back in. And then once the second half started, it was just, well, actually towards the end of the first half, freshman Henry Haberman was able to score his first collegiate goal, and that kind of gave them a lot of momentum heading into the locker room. And whatever Tillman had in the locker room to say to his guys just wasn't enough to get to rally the troops, and they ended up just kind of falling flat fresh out the gates for the second half. And then in the fourth quarter, probably more important than losing this game to Loyola was losing starting goaltender and senior leader Logan McNaney, who tore his ACL when he was chasing after a loose ball, which is absolutely devastating.
Just an ugly play all around.
Devastating for that back six, and it was a very ugly play. The game was very sloppy. It was Maryland's offense couldn't click at all. They were looked like they were dropping simple passes. This was like some middle school type errors. Yeah. They weren't zipping the ball around like we usually see.
Right.
They had some movement, but they couldn't connect on any of these passes, and they couldn't buy a goal. Loyola's defense played very well, and they came up with some huge stops, and Maryland just couldn't get anything to tickle the twine. But looking forward, Syracuse this weekend at the CQ Stadium, 1 o'clock p.m. on Saturday. It's going to be a good game. Syracuse is they're looking promising. They had a couple of good performances. I think they just dismantled, maybe it was either Hopkins or UNC, not exactly sure if someone wants to check that, but we'll be welcoming the number one recruit in the 2022 class, Joey Spallina, Long Island native from Mount Sinai.
Shout out Kev.
Didn't get to play against him in high school, but if my team went further in the playoffs, we would have.
Hey.
But he is, I know some guys who played with him, I've seen him play a lot. He's absolutely disgusting. This kid's a real deal. He played for 91, which is like one of the best teams in the country. He's just been a highlight reel since he was in seventh grade. And he had a rough start in his first game of the year, but then last game he was able to put away five goals on like 70% shooting.
Mm.
But going back to that between the sticks, there's going to be shaking up the personnel in the back. So looking for Teddy Dolan to step in.
Yeah, another Long Island native.
He's a Garden City native, grad student from Binghamton. Very solid career up there with the Bearcats. He started his junior year all nine games, I believe, and had a ton of saves. Just great goaltender all around. I think he's going to step in. And
he started all 14 games senior year.
Did he? I know he had a memorable junior year with above average save percentage, close to the 60% margin, where he was able to just be a rock in net for Binghamton. So looking in. Get more of that out of Ted Dolan, the Long Island native, whose older brother was on that national championship team for Maryland in 2017. So,
hell yeah. All right, just to fill in some stats from what you missed, Syracuse 3-0, beat Vermont, beat Albany, and beat Holy Cross so far this year.
Holy Cross, that's what it was.
Okay, moving to women's, also facing off against Syracuse this weekend. Syracuse coming off a one-goal win versus Northwestern. Going to be a very close game. Number four team in the country facing off against number two team in the country. It's going to be a battle. It's kind of what we talked about with, if you remember, the South Carolina women's basketball game when Maryland faced off against them at the beginning of the year. It's not a must-win game, but it's definitely a big win if you can get it at this point in the year.
Yeah, looking for a clash of titans here. Two powerhouse teams, great programs all around. It's going to be an exciting matchup.
The thing that Maryland fans should love about this is that Maryland women's lacrosse has never lost playing away at Syracuse in the new JMA Wireless Dome. Had some other names in the past, but it's always nice to go into a place where you have actually never lost a game, 6-0.
Especially a dome like that, seeing some of the legends. Like
historic
Gary
dome.
Gate. Yeah.
You said they've only won there with that new name, or in the dome?
In the dome. Oh, okay. They've never lost, it wasn't always there. They've never lost a away game at Syracuse.
All right, thank you.
Thank you for asking
to
me
keep
to clear that up,
rolling.
Mike.
Yeah,
they just changed the they changed they changed the name.
Yeah, you threw out the name change.
The question
I was
asking.
Was it only under the name change?
Fair, very fair. Okay. All right. Wrestling got a huge victory.
Friend of the program, Alex Clemson.
First conference win in 4 years, 2017 or 2018.
2017.
Six. We're fresh into the new year, so yeah, 6 years.
Crazy.
That's all right. At least they were able to break the Cavs back. So,
yeah, that was a big win. Cavs, obviously, Purdue also kind of toward the bottoms of the Big Ten. So, if there was going to be a win this year for Maryland, that was going to be it. Brendan, we all saw what happened against Penn State then next. They kind of got wiped.
Wasn't realistic to think Maryland would win that. I mean,
not a prime back to back spot for the Terps.
No, but getting the win in the Big Ten is huge. It's big for it's big for Clemson. It's big for recruiting, and it's a step in the right direction. And
big Maryland, for the program.
Absolutely, Maryland wrestling's still ranked,
program
and so
win.
Yeah,
it's just a all around very big and very exciting time for the program. Videos in the locker room were electric.
So I have a question.
Clemson took his tie off in post game. I mean, it was huge.
They got ranked. In like one ranking I saw, like how is that, like is there just so little of teams, is that the type of thing, like what do we think, how do they get ranked off one Big Ten win? Because I saw a poll where
they've been ranked all year.
Yeah. So how, like, if they're not winning in the Big Ten, like, how is that? How are they continuously ranked? You know what I mean? Like, is that just kind of because there's a lack of teams? What's the deal? Why is Maryland wrestling continue to be ranked? Does anybody have any idea?
Well, if you look at the other matches they had, outside the Big Ten, they fared very well. They early on in the year, Bloomsburg, lower tier team, but they absolutely smoked Duke, smoked American. Close battle with ranked Pittsburgh at the
time. There are also 16. 9 teams ahead of them in the rankings that are Big Ten teams. Okay, so maybe that, 10, that depending sense. On what week you're looking at.
Big Ten's a tough
all year there's been.
They just like don't like take like Big Ten losses. They're just kind of, voters must just kind of be like,
They lost a close matchup to Indiana. They lost 17-16. Yeah. They lost a close one to Oklahoma, 18-16. So they've had close losses. It's not like they've been getting blown out. And, okay, they did maybe get blown out by Ohio State that one time a couple weeks ago, but Ohio State's also 7th in the country.
Right.
They might have got also blown out by number 3 Michigan, but they're 3rd in the country. But
that's how it's going to be.
Also got blown out by Penn State, number 1 in the country. But those are top 3 teams. So it's
– I think it's kind of the same for – it's definitely a
skill gap.
It's different in like basketball because there's 300 whatever so teams and you play so many more games or matches. And so when – almost the entire conference in the top 25 is.
That's a good stat. The 9 of the 9.
It depends
ranked.
On the week.
Yeah, the
I mean,
Ten's loaded.
Also, there's also wrestling has as many different rankings that they use.
There's,
so
yeah, there's different polls.
I mean, certain rankings. There's 12 teams in it.
Yeah,
so it's just
there's coaches' polls. There's wrestling.
There was
that's just also crazy. The Big Ten is that dominant.
That's wild. But there was another team that broke the rankings for the first time since 2013.
Softball.
And that was the softball team. They. Were the kind of talk, as much talk as there is about college softball. They were the talk of college softball this week.
They had a great weekend.
I mean, great weekend.
Should play in the South more often.
Went down to Mexico. First game on Thursday against Oregon. They beat Oregon, pretty handily. And Oregon's usually a perennial contender. They are always at the top of the Pac-10.
Able to knock in, like, 7 runs on them, right?
Yeah, they had a 5 spot in the first inning.
They had a big rally
which was really that's kind of been a theme of the weekend. I talked with Coach Montgomery this week and he said that they really timely hitting was a big thing. Small ball, timely hitting, that type of thing.
Able to string a couple hits
together
and get
exactly.
runs on the board.
Yeah, no, great point because that was definitely a theme of the weekend. And then they came back and then they got the big one on Saturday and that was against number 3 Oklahoma State. Which, to be honest, it was a great battle, but Maryland was in control the whole way. Every time the Cowgirls responded, Maryland just fought right back, and I thought it was a super impressive victory to get that in Mexico, and to come home from the weekend 4-1. That was a special, special weekend for them. Now the thing is, they cannot ride the roller coaster of the season and go through the really highs and lows. Softball is a very, very long season, as I know.
Because you're covering it?
Yeah, that I am. But anyway, they're riding the long season, so you have to make sure you're staying consistent, guys. And I just think that's a big thing that Montgomery talked about. Mike, do you have any thoughts about this team, or do you see this team kind of continuing to play well in the non-con, or is this kind of a false step or, mirage type of thing? What are your thoughts?
You never know because it's so early in the season. That's when these fluke wins usually
appear.
That's
a great point.
So I just think you got to wait it out and see. Do they continue to have these strong non-conference wins? If they continue to, that will likely continue into conference play as well. But we just don't know because it's so early.
Rankings don't mean very much at the beginning of the year. If you use men's basketball as an example, Maryland peaked at 13. UNC was ranked first at the beginning of the year. So Oklahoma State, right, 3rd in the country. Great win, but how accurate is the ranking? You don't really know yet.
Definitely. Montgomery said that basically the same thing. He's like, we can't look at rankings this early.
You played 2 games.
Exactly. It's like, so they got the ACC Big Ten Challenge this weekend. I think Virginia, North Carolina. So it'll be interesting to see how they play those two teams, another D1 schools. It's a great start for them, obviously. Best start in program history since 2013, obviously. So that's a pretty crazy stat to look at.
It's kind of the pattern with a bunch of other sports as well. So
spring sports is, I think, the strong season for.
We've said that all along.
So especially March Madness, we're getting into that.
Yeah.
I got a question. Well, we don't have to do this now, but remember how we did the 2.5 win total for Big Ten tournament plus NCAA. Does anybody want to change their opinion now that we're getting closer, or are we still solid with what we said?
I'm sticking with
the I'll lock one. It in. I'll keep it.
Okay.
We can revisit it tournament week.
Yeah, revisit tournament week. I agree. Because I just think Maryland's going to get that top four seed, so it might be interesting.
Yeah, that's true. We'll look at it again. Okay. But yeah. Baseball, Mike?
Yeah, Mike, great preview. Check it out on TerrapinSportsCentral.com. Him and Harrison Rich are covering the team, so clap it up for Mike.
Thank you.
Mike, give us the hits of that article.
They're returning a lot of players. They're losing Chris Alleen, who was their leading home run hitter last year. But at the same time, they're bringing back Matt Shaw. They're bringing back Luke Schlager. Jason Savakul is going to be their ace this season. And speaking about their season, it is starting this Friday at USF.
Yeah, it's a shame. Why don't they do Savvy Fridays? It should be Savvy Saturdays.
That has more of a ring to it for sure.
Yeah, I kind of hate that, to be honest.
Saturdays.
Don't expect their weekend series against USF to be that difficult. USF last year was 28-29, so the Terps should win this series. And then they'll come back to College Park for their home opener Tuesday against West Virginia. The Mountaineers were 33-22 last season, so depending on who's pitching, what the matchups are, this could also be a pretty, I don't want to say easy, but favorable game for the Terps.
Mike, when do they play Ole Miss? Because I'm going to be tuning into that.
Next weekend.
Be an electric series.
Next All weekend, right. I'm covering Friday and Saturday of Ole Miss.
Check it out. And please, 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 Ole Miss, wear your powder blue jerseys. I love those jerseys so much. I think that they're just a great look. Are you guys pro powder blue? Yes.
I am pro powder blue, definitely.
Especially baseball jerseys.
I like the, personally, I am a fan of the Phillies powder blue.
Yeah, it's a good friend.
Thus, I am a Mets fan.
I'm a fan of everything Ole Miss.
You could never go wrong with the Chargers powder blue. I think the Chargers might have the best variation of the powder blue.
Yeah, that's just like their main color, though. They don't bust it out every once in a while.
I agree with Cabot. I would go. I like Ole Miss's football helmets, the baby blues. So that those are my top.
Like their football.
What about like Duke blue?
Just stop.
Royal blue, the color royal.
Yeah,
blue.
What about that?
Yeah, I don't really think
Brotherhood has had some great jerseys.
Trademark it. But
I think royal blue is a good blue. Well, theirs is like a deeper. Theirs is a little darker than royal.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm not a fan.
I'm not. Yeah. Also, the alternates they wear now, gross. The really dark blue ones. Those are disgusting with the script font or whatever it is. I hate those. Just so you know, I want to make it known my opinion on Duke's jerseys.
Can't do the script font like Maryland.
That's true. Very true.
No, they cannot. Blue Devils does not have a good ring to it. Or not. Duke.
It really doesn't.
It's too long.
Brendan, are we missing any sports or is that covered all?
No. Let's get into the Terrific Terrapin and then we'll play a fun game.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's get into it. This week's Terrific Terrapin is Reginald Van Trump Truett, also known as RV Truett. Anybody know who I'm talking about?
No.
No idea.
I know who you're talking about.
All right.
Inform us, Mr. Brendan.
RV Truett was born in Snow Hill, Maryland, in 1890. He was the Maryland lacrosse coach, men's lacrosse coach, from 1919 to 1927.
Prohibition years, we call those.
Oh, yeah. That same year, 1919, he founded the Chesapeake Biologic Laboratory.
Whoa, this guy was multifaceted.
He has Maryland pride.
He was a zoologist.
Are you kidding me?
No, not at all. He also founded the M Club, which you may have heard of, an athletic, the Alumni Association, along with Curly Bird, former stadium name, and
awesome.
Gary Epley, which is where the students at Maryland do exercise.
That's incredible.
Epley Recreation Center.
On top of that, he served as a pilot in World War I. He competed in lacrosse and track for Maryland from 1911 to 1914.
I do have a question. How did Mr. Truett compete at the University of Maryland in lacrosse if he was the first coach?
I was actually wondering the same thing. I was also wondering how he competed in lacrosse and track, which tend to be in the same season. Some things we just don't know, but what I do know is that he was also a player coach.
Ah, that explains it. I'm thinking back then it was probably more like club affiliated. There was a bunch of wars going on, Kevin. Well, that's true.
I mean, let's be honest, the track team here at Maryland, not really the
back
most.
Back in the day, though, back in the day.
They probably regressed.
Yeah.
People forget 70s.
You can't
and,
really progress
people forget
to where they're at now.
70s and 80s, Maryland lacrosse won 15, don't fact check me, ish, ACC championships in a row for men's track. Yeah.
That's crazy. What a guy.
Truett was inducted into the National Lacrosse Hall of Fame in 1959, and here's the kicker. He lived to be 100 years old. What a guy.
Centennial. That's really good investigative journalism. Big J, hey, clap it up for Big J journalism right there. Cabot and Brennan, good job.
Thank you very much.
Arvatra.
Is he dead?
Yes, he died April 11th, 1991. Mike, in Easton, Maryland.
If he also
that's a really bad question.
And he lived to be 100 years old.
If he was
how could he be alive? Michael,
him and Irene Knox are somewhere very special.
Sorry, I was about to say.
Do we think they were friends?
At least the track team isn't where the swimming team is now.
Yeah, that's true. All right, just a quick vote. Do we think him and Irene Knox are friends?
He probably did.
That was crazy.
I would say that yes, our two terrific Terps had to have been friends, Brendan. So.
I think they must. What a crazy guy.
Maybe not had to, they could have.
Throwing well, Dick
when,
Shiner.
When was Irene here?
She like 20s, 1920s. He was coaching then.
Yeah.
Maybe. They had to run we into don't know. Each other. He was down at the M Club. He must know her.
Yeah.
She was rifling champion. Yeah, Kevin, are you kidding?
That's like she was the classic M Club. Definitely.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. All right, that's an incredible, terrific Terp.
I wonder if he was a better zoologist or lacrosse player. We'll never know.
That's one of our best ones. So good job, guys.
He actually discovered the snapping turtle, which the school's mascot is named after.
That's not true. Okay, let's finish with a fun game.
It's not true.
Yeah.
Oh.
Ah. Boo. Take it. So the game we're going to do in honor of Coach Freeze's top five, we are also going to be doing a starting five. A little draft here. Of the best Maryland all-time players. The kick is we are going to be doing, you have to have either three women and two men athletes or two women and three men athletes. And it has to be a coherent lineup with, Kevin, we said one player, current player from each gender, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so that is what we're going to be doing.
Okay.
Currently on a University of Maryland basketball roster.
I agree. So...
All right.
I think it has to be both men and women?
Yep, you have to have a man and a woman current player.
Someone's going to get stuck with, like, Hakeem Hart.
All right, don't be hating on my boy Hart.
I'm just saying.
Let's do the order of how we finished in drafts. We'll start.
No, I think we should redo this. No, that's too much. It's not a visual podcast. I think we should just flip it around from when we did the last draft. So I'll start, Cavett second, Brendan third, Mike fourth, and then sync draft.
Sure, let's go.
All right. With the first overall pick, I will be taking point guard Christy Tolliver. Christy was our terrific Terp at one point, hit a huge shot against Duke. She's going to be leading my squad, just a mainstay point guard, heady guard, really just be able to do all the little things to help bring my squad to victory.
No, you just said I was third.
No, Kava goes next.
I'm up now? Yeah. Okay. Alyssa Thomas, welcome to the squad. Maryland women's basketball GOAT.
Yeah, she's a dog.
Kind of insane that no one's picking a current player. I'll go Dime Miller.
Yeah, that's... Okay, right. I mean, you want to talk about... We support both sides, because that's three straight women. Mike, you going to continue the trend or switch it up?
I'm going to really switch it up. For my women's player, I'm taking Angel Reese.
Ooh. That doesn't count as a current player.
Yeah, that doesn't count
as a current player. She can be a pass player.
Okay. She is a pass player.
That counts. Do we give it to Mike?
Nope.
Current player?
Nope. Absolutely not.
She's currently on a University of Maryland.
That's a harsh panel.
That'd
Mike.
Be like picking Kevin Herter and saying he's active because he could have eligibility left. Absolutely not.
Kevin Herter?
Nope. That's not even close to the same thing.
Kind of.
It's
same idea.
It's close enough because neither of them are on a Maryland basketball roster.
So, Mike, are you sticking with your Angel Reese pick? Or are you pivoting?
No, you already picked it.
No, he's still on the clock, technically.
You know, I thought that would be a current one.
Okay, so pivot. Take your next person.
I'll just take Len Bias.
Okay, that's a good pick. You're back on the clock, Mike.
I'm back on the clock.
Yeah, so you got your small forward, Len Bias, point forward. Great pick. Who are you taking next?
I'm going to take somebody from the men's side. Who knows how to score the ball and is going to be leading my backcourt. I'm going to take Juan Dixon.
Oh, that's a good pick. That's a
leading
great
scorer.
National champion. Mm-hmm. That's a great pick.
I am going to...
Nope, it's Brendan.
Oh, it is Brendan. Okay. I'm just totally... I just can't grasp the order.
It's okay.
Right now, for some reason.
We forgive you. Miller Trimble.
Wow.
Great pick.
Good pick.
I am going to knock my current women's player off the board. Abby Myers, welcome to the squad.
Yeah, that's a good pick. Cavett's got a really good squad. Good shooting
right now.
Abby Myers brings a lot of perimeter spacing. I'm going to follow the trend, and I'm going to take my current men's player, and I'm going to go with the small backcourt. I'm going to go Jameer Young. I think that he really is just going to bring a powerful 1-2 punch to the backcourt with him and Tolliver. That's going to be some of the best perimeter scoring that Maryland's seen. So I will take him, and then I will follow that up and give me, you know, I'm in between two guys. It really just comes down to, for me, this guy was just kind of electrified Maryland fans. Give me Grievous Vasquez. Play him at the 2-3. He was a combo guard.
There you go.
I'm liking that pick.
Good pick.
Cav?
I am going to knock my current men's basketball player off the board. Someone who's got quite a bag on him. Dante Scott. Welcome to the squad.
That's a good pick. B.
We need to get two women, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Including one current. There's an obvious name on the board.
All right. I am going to go with Kevin Huerter.
Great pick. I was going for him next.
Brad Mamba.
There's so many better players on the board right
now. Yeah, I would agree.
But none of them are as currently electric. Lined up to be in the National Basketball Association All-Star Weekend three-point competition.
Very fun.
You guys don't even know my last pick.
You're right.
You do know my last pick.
I do know your last pick.
Okay.
If you steal who my last pick is going to be.
All right, Mike. Give us your pick.
For my next pick, I'm just going to take Shayon Sellers. It's a pretty obvious pick. She's the best current women's player left on the board. And do I get the next pick now, too?
Yep, you do.
I think I need some more size. I think I'm going to just – I'll take Julian Reese. I feel like he's the best current men's, so I just went back-to-back. He's the best current men's right now.
All right, I'll go with Vicky Bullitt on the women's side, second leading scorer in women's history.
Yeah, ACC Player of the Year. That's a good pick, Brennan. She's an underrated name. Cav?
I'm going to go for someone who we all know very, very well, someone who could jump out of the gym. James Giss.
Oh! Cav, I'm going to murder you.
Friend of the program, GOAT.
Wow.
Well done.
That's a really good
balling
pick.
Out in Turkey.
Yeah. That's
a, that's dope. A really solid
that's
pick.
That's a really solid
Thank
pick.
Thank you. My squad
okay,
is
so I'm
going to
finish
nicely.
Out my squad. I'm going to go Brené Alexander at the four, and then give me Bruno Fernando at the five.
Good. Yeah, your team's solid.
I think that my team's really got good shooting, and now I add a mainstay in the middle. So I like that pick. Brennan? Or no, Cabot, sorry.
I'm up?
Yeah.
Okay. So I have Alyssa Thomas,
Abby Myers,
Gist, and Dante Scott.
Do you need a point guard? Probably.
I do. Steve Blake.
Oh, that's right. I was between him and Cowan. That was a good pick. All
right.
Sticking with that 0-2 squad.
If you take a look at my team, almost everybody so far is young. And if you want to build a team that's going to be powerful in the future, you got to take somebody.
Oh my God!
Out of IMG Academy, building for the future. Number 11.
The Batch Man.
Noah Batch.
That's gonna resonate with the voters.
You got to think this team
Can
maybe
I take
wouldn't
Caleb
win now.
Swanton Rogers.
I almost took him. It was between him and Vanilla
Swan.
My last pick of the draft. I'm gonna take Diamond Stone. Plays a strong center position. He came into Maryland with a lot of potential. Possibly, most likely, did not meet all that potential. He averaged 12.5 points per game. At the same time, though, he did show those flashes. He currently has the all-time record in the Xfinity Center.
Wow.
For 39 points.
That's
kind of crazy.
That's a good
most,
stat. Yeah.
But,
39 in a game?
In a game, yeah. That's the most.
That's a good pull. Yeah. That's
wait till Noah Batchelor gets his minutes.
Wait till that man gets hot from behind the arc. All right.
Snapped in half.
Should we read our teams and then wrap up the episode? I can go first. So my squad, I'm looking at kind of small in the backcourt, but I'm going Christy Tolliver, Jameer Young at the 1-2, Grievous Vasquez at the 3, and then I got Brené Alexander and my guy, Bruno Fernando, at the 5. I like my team. Good shooting. Good big man in the middle. I'm liking how I'm looking. Brendan?
Interesting.
All right. I got Miller Trimble, Diamond Miller, Kevin Huerter, Vicky Bullitt, and Noah Batchelor.
Yeah, you see, that's a great team until you realize you don't have a single center or a big
Noah
big
Batchelor.
Person.
He's like very tall.
He's also incredibly skinny.
He is 6'6". That's very tall compared to the average human being. Very tall.
Fair point. Cavett?
My squad, Alyssa Thomas, Abby Myers, Big D, Dante Scott, Steve Blake, the facilitator in that championship squad, and none other than James Gist.
I think that might, that's probably the, I like that team a lot. That's a good squad.
Me as well.
For my team, I got Juan Dixon and Cheyenne Sellers at the 1 and 2. Then I got Len Bias at small forward. I'm going to put Julian Reese at power forward, and then Diamond Stone in the paint.
Yeah, that's. I think that Kevin and Mike's team are both pretty solid.
I will just make one more comment. Noah Bachelor undeclared in his major, which makes me think that he thinks he's going to the NBA soon, which is a good look for my team.
What? Very way to connect. One and done, Noah Bachelor. Well done. Well, that was a good episode, guys.
Let's wrap it up.
Really good. And Kevin, take us away.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to Under the Shell, presented by Terrapin Sports Central, live here from the McKeldin Library. Have a good one.